The Nikki Byrne Show with Jenny Green on 2FM.
Proudly sponsored by Aldi, home of the Super Six.
Now, former Miss Ireland novelist Amanda Brunker is back on our TV screens tonight, and it's for the second episode of her new series, Danger Amanda at Work. And the show sees her trying out some of the toughest jobs in Ireland, from deep sea fishing to construction and pig farming. And last week, I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed it when you went out in the boat. Amanda Brunker, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm good, but I think it's always so funny when people say former Miss Ireland. That was like 24 years ago.
Do you know what? If I had been a Miss Ireland, though, I'd still say it.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
My full title, please.
Do you know, I was expecting you to wear the sash in today. I'm not going to lie to you, I'm a little bit devastated.
Well, I actually, you should call over to my house. I have a shoebox of sashes.
Oh, excuse
I don't just
me.
Have the one. I have a collection of, and
I'm starting to dislike you now. You know, there's a jealousy creeping in.
And years ago, you know, at parties and stuff, these sort of things would come out, and male friends of mine and ourselves would dance around in the sashes, because I actually did loads of beauty competitions.
Excuse me.
Because it was a way of making money 100 years ago. And then I was actually devastated when I won the Miss Ireland, because I had three more competitions lined up which I was told I would win if I entered. And it was a great way of making money. And I made less money out of the Miss Ireland.
You're joking me.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my way of making a few quid.
Were you ever going to go for the Rose of Tralee or anything?
Oh, I would have loved to.
Would you?
Well, everybody said I was more a Rose of Tralee than a Miss Ireland, because I came out after, I don't know whether you remember, the gorgeous Siobhan McClafferty. Mm-hmm. And she was a really popular Miss Ireland, and she came second in the Miss World. Yeah. So everybody would say, all the newspapers at the time would go, the stunning Siobhan McClafferty. And then it would be me, the lovely Amanda Brunker. And I spent a year being the lovely Amanda
You're
Brunker.
You're a lovely girl.
And I was devastated by that. I was like, excuse me.
If you had gone on, I'm just curious, what would have been your talent? That's always the part that I enjoy the most on the Rose of Tralee. You've probably got so many. Any that would be safe to say on air at this hour of the day.
Well, we definitely wouldn't put singing down as a talent. Don't mention the war. Step away from it. Yeah, I was good at table tennis, but let's not go there with ping pong balls. Yeah, I actually was very good at table tennis. Not any other talent with ping pong balls, but actually table tennis.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first.
There you go. I was number 3 seed in Ireland at one time.
Is this a true story?
True that.
Okay, we're gonna have to Google that later. I'll take your word for it for now.
Do you know what? It was before the time of the internet, let's be honest.
Okay, all right, so it's not there.
It's not there, but I do have a couple of little medals and bits and bobs.
They're in a room with your sashes, are they?
Yeah, the special room that no children are not allowed to enter.
Oh, brilliant.
Anyway, so
tell us about the show anyway, because last Thursday night it aired, obviously, Danger Amanda at Work. And for a lot of people like myself tuning in, we didn't really know what to expect. What I did really enjoy was, I felt, you know, obviously maybe there was probably more footage done as well, but I felt it did give somewhat of an insight into what it's like to be on a fishing boat. And even before you set out, now I have a bit of a fear of boats, and I thought, I don't think I could do that. And particularly when, you know, that you were talking to them beforehand, it's a dangerous place.
Yeah, I don't think people realise just how much that these guys and an awful lot of young men go out and they put their lives at risk for your fish supper. Mm. A lot of people don't really, you know, they don't really hold much value in fish. It's kind of like, they eat it when they have to on a Friday, or, you know, kids are kind of pushing it around the plate. And I was like, going, somebody has nearly died just to bring that back. And I hope that the documentary, well, the series, it'll highlight how hard the guys out in the trawlers work, you know, for the fish, that whether you go to a fishmonger or you just get it all nicely packaged in the supermarket, you know, what actually went into getting it to that place.
Yeah.
And tonight I am going to be on a construction site in Roscommon, and we're going for all tough jobs. Now, the whole, even though, if anybody's seen the trailers on TV3, you know, the kind of trailers are a little bit misleading, because it's all a bit slapstick and it's me kind of falling over and me lifting things and me laughing and taking selfies of myself. But the actual shows themselves are not about me.
Yeah.
They're about the people actually working in these really difficult trades. And I suppose it's just to highlight how hard they work. And I suppose I'm just really a vehicle to kind of introduce people to their life.
Because I think particularly at the moment, like we all kind of moan and go, God, I'm so tired tonight, or whatever it is, having done nothing, or I have to record something, I have to read a piece of paper for 10 minutes afterwards and I want to go home. And then you watch something like that and you're thinking, that's really hard earned money.
Big time. Like, especially the fishermen, I didn't realise, you know, I thought that they would get a wage for going out, but these guys go out to sea and they may not make any money.
Yeah.
Or if the weather is really bad, they will make no money at all because they're not going out to sea. And it's really, really tough. They had to, when we were actually out there filming, we got a storm warning came through.
I watched that and I thought, get off the boat, go back.
It was unfortunate that the reception was a little bit bad, but we could hear better that, you know, there was a storm warning coming through. And I was like, oh, are you going to tell the crew? He was like, no, this is the skipper. And I was like, are we going to go back in to shore? And he was like, no. And he's like, listen, you're making a TV show. I'm trying to make a living. And they had to pay for the diesel. They had to pay for the food shop. They had to pay for all the stuff. And they had to make enough money before they could come back in. I think we actually paid the diesel to come back in. I am not staying out in the storm.
I watched it and he said, we're not going back. And then there was kind of a cut and it came back and it was suddenly, no, we've decided to go back. And I thought, she must have paid for that. I hope she did, because I felt bad.
I think we did actually pay for the diesel to come back in.
Some of the characters though on the boat, and one of the young guys that made me laugh the most, when you had fed them that evening. And I always have this thing about, there's no vegetable I won't eat, to be honest. Yeah. There's nothing that kind of grosses me out to that level. He really was having a hard time eating broccoli, and then, but he'd no problem swallowing the beating heart of a fish. Apparently, which I couldn't even watch. I was like,
It was, and you couldn't actually properly see it because of the, you know, the boat is moving around and all the rest. And the poor cameraman and the soundman had a really, really tough job. They almost had as tough a job as the fishermen themselves out there. But they'd seen it in, I think, Trawlermen or one of those other kind of fishing shows, and they catch all this cod, by the way, that apparently isn't in the Irish Sea. Huge, big, massive things. Yeah. And they had to throw them all back in again, which is awful. But they cut one of them open and he said, look at this, wait till you see this. And he cut out the heart and he held it in his hand. It must have been there for about 2 minutes. Still beating.
Oh.
It still beats out of the fish. A cod's heart. So apparently it's good luck to eat a beating heart from the cod.
Do you think so?
Well, as I said, how much good luck do you need?
That's like something with if a bird shits in you, someone says, good luck. I think it's just so you're not annoyed. That's all. Yeah,
who's going to eat a beating heart? But anyway, he swallowed it. And I had to argue with him to eat the broccoli, because the mammy in me was like, these
eat
guys.
Eat your greens.
But just eat, because I thought that they'd be living off chocolate and coffee and whatever. But those guys didn't even stop working. It was just cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I think they'd been going for something like 40 hours or more. And I just kind of went, enough already. And I actually just made the food and they weren't going to come in. And I said, you've got to eat.
I was
just like, literally, like the mammy in me, sit down and eat your broccoli.
My favourite thing you did, and as I was watching it, I was like, God, that is exactly me, was at the start of it when you were saving the dogfish. And I saw you go around, you had them under your arm. It was like you were picking up a couple of cats.
I did that for hours.
And then it was like at the end of it, you went, Joe, I give up. I actually give up.
Well, I hated them. Excuse me. But I actually kept saving them. I genuinely did.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And they really are these weird. I was like, why don't we eat them? Surely we can eat them or do something with them.
There must be something.
Can we not make dog food or cat food out of them? It doesn't make sense. But we literally, the discard that goes back into the sea is just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So I tried to save as many. And if there was small fish that I knew would make the grade, I tried to get them back in. But most of the fish were dead by the time they came
so
in.
Sad.
Oh, it was tragic. You know, tonight is a different show.
Yes,
obviously.
Tell us about the show tonight. What exactly are you going to be doing?
Well, I basically do everything that a general operative does. So I'm the lackey on the site, and I was the only woman, which was a good thing because I got my own toilet, and I was
happy
I didn't have to share a toilet.
And with that one as well, you get to go home every evening. Unlike the boat, you were on it.
The boat, you got this little bunk, and it was just
you're there for 3 days.
It was great. grim. It was grim. But we were there for, it was about 5 or 6 days in Roscommon, and we stayed in a very nice hotel.
So this one tonight, you've got your own toilet.
I have my own toilet.
Brilliant.
But it is such back-breaking work, should I say. I was with the Kango hammer, I'm laying bricks, and I'm talking to, you know, I'm doing the hard work and we're having a bit of a laugh with me kind of fumbling through it. But it's about talking to the guys who've kind of survived the recession, the guys who have lost family members and had to go abroad.
Yeah.
And then some old timers, which is a really sad, who'd lost family as well for going abroad, but who had gone away. And then when the boom happened, they then uprooted themselves and their family back to Ireland, and then it all went bust. And it's just like talking to these guys going, wow, that's really, really hard to kind of have, you know, all that chopping and changing. And then there was another lovely guy who was an engineer. I can't remember his name, unfortunately, but he had qualified, he'd started work, and he'd got married, he'd had a baby, and he'd bought a house, and then he lost his job. And this was his first job in 3 years. And it was just like, break your heart.
Heartbreaking.
Such a nice guy, and just all he wanted to do was work, and he couldn't get any work whatsoever. So it's really just kind of following these guys. There's a lot of serious stuff in there. And as I said, the show isn't really about me. I'm just the vehicle to introduce you to these guys.
And I suppose it's a serious show. Obviously, there's a light side to it. And when anyone would hear your name associated with it, they would imagine there'd be a bit of fun in it too, which is good. And to be honest, these guys need a bit of fun too.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of a nice, you get to kind of cover all bases. And when you're just seeing as you're doing that kind of job at home now, what would you be like in the DIY front?
Better than my husband, actually.
Really?
Yes, and I can say that safely because he's on a managerial course at the moment, and he's in a locked room somewhere.
You'd be good for a flat pack furniture or hanging up a shelf or something, would you?
I would, but I'm smarter than that. I'll still make him do it.
I thought you were going to say I'm smarter than him. I was like, don't say that now.
Oh, well, that's a whole different ballgame whatsoever. But, I'm a bit more kind of DIY orientated. Philip's just the who can we ring kind of person. But
I have a man who can do that.
Yeah.
So tell us the show, how many weeks is it going to run for, and how many other, can you tell us some of the other professions that you're going to be trying out?
Yeah, it's on for the next 3 weeks. People who don't like me will be glad to hear. I won't be littering.
At the end of the day, Amanda, it's Ireland, so you're always going to get someone who's going to give out, and you're never going to please everyone.
Exactly. So I think tonight is construction down in Roscommon. Next week, I think I'm on a pig farm in Donegal.
Interesting.
Yeah, and thankfully, you know what? It was a lot better than what I originally thought. We had pitched to go into a chicken processing plant.
Oh, God.
And
problem is, I would imagine, and I know people work in that, obviously they do, but when you see something like that, I'd say it never leaves you.
Exactly. So I was very relieved when I heard that nobody would let us access into any chicken farm in Ireland. Funny that.
Did they ask you to do anything that you said, no, I don't think I can do that?
No, we went, when it came to the farming, I was lucky again because it was an organic pig farmer instead of traditional pig farming. And I know it's a huge industry in this country, but you have to understand that pig farming is not exactly the nicest.
No.
Way. And I now have not eaten any pork because you just can't get organic pork in the majority of places. And like, I mean, they're like battery hens, effectively. So I don't eat them either. Yeah. I'm practically vegetarian after doing this show. But we went from the farm to the fork. So I was feeding them. I was looking after them. We then kind of rounded them up. I brought them to the abattoir. And while I was quite nervous of going in there, you know, I got through it and I was quite surprised. And I think the director was really annoyed with me. He said, Amanda, not even a flinch, no emotion whatsoever. And I said, no, I found this hard. He said, thought there'd be a few tears or something. Come on, give us a good.
So they're kind of behind you, poking you nearly.
Yeah, cry, goddammit, cry. But, you know, the worst bit of the whole abattoir thing is the weight.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the animals know that they're
see, now
bad things are going to happen.
You're going to start upsetting me now as well. Sorry, I'm not good for stuff like that.
I have to say, once they were in the process and where the abattoir that we were in, it was a really well-run facility. And it's amazing because within seconds, they go from being these pigs to being meat. And it's a bizarre thing to watch. And I'm a huge animal lover. Anybody who knows me knows I hate the idea of any cruelty.
Yeah.
Like, I was out marching my greyhound around UCD before I came over here because I don't like the idea of leaving him in the house for an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm all about the animals. But it was the the worst bit was the holding of them, because once it all happens, it happens very quickly. And then within, literally within, we're talking minutes, when they're dead, and then all of a sudden they're being washed, they're going down round tumble wash machines, and they're,
it's hard to wash, you know.
But no, but as soon as they're dead, it's actually okay to watch them, because then all of a sudden you're just looking at meat. And it's a bizarre thing that we could, how your brain views things, and it just changes. But it's just unbelievable. Once they're washed, the hair's off them, they're kind of singed in this huge big furnace, and then they're on this conveyor
this
belt.
This programme has hardened you.
It really has, in a way. But it's amazing. You watch them, and there's some amazing footage in that one, and you just, these guys cutting them up and chopping, and they all have these different jobs on a big long conveyor belt. And I was like, oh, this would be a great scene for Love Hate. You can imagine, like, getting the baddies.
I don't know what you're talking about, Trish.
Shush, me knees are killing me. Me knees are killing me.
So tell us, what's next for you now? Have you got anything else coming up that you've got planned? You've always got your fingers in a couple of pies.
Yeah, no, I'm very lucky. I took redundancy from the Sunday World last August. It all kind of happened in a whirlwind. I never thought I wouldn't be part of the newspaper, which I'd been with for about 15 and a half years.
Yeah.
So I am now officially...
Oh, go on, give us an exclusive.
I'm a full-time writer now, and it's all I've really wanted to do. I actually don't want to make TV programmes at all.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you put yourself out there, you're kind of open to flack, and you're never going to be as good as what people want you to be.
I will say, though, the feedback on Twitter last week when I was watching the programme was very complimentary, and I was shocked. A few people just to jump on the bandwagon, because that's what we do.
I was shocked. I know, and there was only one person I saw when I... Because you can't, I was there saying, I'll stay away. But all the...
You can't.
No. But the reception was really good. And this is, like, I've done much bigger kind of shows that have had huge, big hype around them, like All Ireland Talent Show, Charity Eurostar, loads of all these kind of big kind of RTE shows. And I didn't get the reaction that I got from this, which was great. But I thought the funniest was somebody put up... Amanda Brunker reminds me of a functioning Lindsay Lohan. Just like a, and then somebody
you've
commented,
got something you want to have on your headstone. All right.
And then somebody just put underneath it, you mean just functioning. And I was just like going, okay. You know, it was like, right, whatever. So,
do you know what? A comment like that is so funny, it wouldn't even annoy you.
It's actually brilliant.
You're just like gold.
But I've just finished writing a play, which is going to be going, starting in theatres kind of June.
Great.
And later in the autumn, and I started back work on my book, that difficult fourth novel, yesterday actually, and I'm really excited about
it. So it's all go.
Yeah, so it's just, we're keeping busy, but it's gas. People think that if you're not on telly, you're actually not doing anything.
You're not, yeah, exactly.
You must be working, yeah, but all good, thank you.
Well, look, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming in to us today, and the show is back for episode 2 tonight at 9 o'clock on TV3.
Thanks a million.